I've been preaching a series of messages, and unless the Lord changes my mind, this will probably wrap up this series. We preached last Sunday morning on the job of the pastor, and then we looked at, I've been preaching on the wide thought of you against me and me against you, and also the church being against each other. We can't go anywhere like that when there's a division in the church, and I don't believe there is. I hope there's not. These messages always scare me and they always bother me when I preach things like this, because I don't know what's lurking around the corner. And you pastor, sometimes you look for a booger around every corner if you ain't careful. And that happens. And so we preached on what my job is, what the Bible says about the pastor's job. And then we looked about last Sunday night. We looked about when the people were against the pastor. And we looked with Moses and we're number 12 when Miriam and Aaron got against him. We look at number 16 when Korah and his crew got against him. And then this morning we looked in 3 John about Diotrephes, that he was against the church. But tonight I want to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this deals in that with the body of Christ. And Brother Ralph, when he preached our revival, he talked about the body of Christ. I never really thought about it the way that he put it, but how true it was that Christ is on the right hand of the Father, and we're now his body, and we are now his hands, his feet, his eyes, his mouth. And I thought, man, what a great way to describe the church and that of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Colossians 1 said, and he is the head of the body, the church. And so we know tonight that the body is the church itself proper, but it is also in that of the local assembly. We'll look at that here in just a minute, but look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's stand our feet tonight, if we would. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's begin to read in verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles," so we see that nationality has nothing to do with it, "whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, members in particular. You can be seated tonight. Lord, help us while we breathe. Save somebody, help somebody. And Lord, I pray you touch us now. Give us unction from the Holy One. For this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. In this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, in the first part, as the Apostle Paul deals in that with spiritual gifts. And he deals with the differencing or the differences of spiritual gifts and what people can do in the church, especially at this time. Listen, I believe there had to be some kind of division and that taking place at the church of Corinth. As a matter of fact, if you go back and you read just the prior chapter, as he has to deal with the Lord's Supper. I mean, they had all kinds of a mess going on at the church of Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 3, they hadn't grown up. They were still babes in Christ. And he was having to deal with that. They still hadn't dealt with sin. And 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and he teaches them and tells them how to deal with that. And I mean, these people are just carnal. They're fleshly, if I could say it that way. But if you read chapter, I believe it's chapter 7, 8, 9, you'll find out that they were still getting something done for the cause of Christ. Now, I'm glad tonight that we can still do something for the cause of Christ tonight. Amen? But listen, I believe that the closer we live to God, the more that we can do for Him. Amen? But when we look at this right here, he begins to lay out in verse 12 and that about the body of Christ, the church. Hey, listen, I want you to understand something tonight. The Lord ordained the church. I'm a church man. I love the church. It's because the church I'm saved. Somebody in the church prayed for me, preached to me, taught me. My mom and daddy took me to church. And I'm glad tonight that there is a church of the living God. Amen. I love the church tonight. I really do. And it is the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Let me tell you, when you got saved, you become part of the body of Christ. What did He say right here? He said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. When we got saved and we believed the gospel of truth and we asked Jesus to save us, I'm glad that He birthed us in to the family of God and made us part of the body of Christ tonight. I appreciate what Brother Ralph had to say. We have lost the bigness or the allness of being part of the church tonight. Hey, I like the church. And it don't take long for me to get around folk to tell whether they're part of the church too. You know, you can get around folk and just talk to them for a little while and figure out if they're part of the church or not. Amen. But when you got saved, you become part of the church. And then there is the local assembly and that we're in tonight. We know that the Bible teaches us about the local assembly. And I said something about this here a month or two ago looking at the church and membership. You know, Paul writes to the local church, don't he? From Corinth to Colossus, and he wrote to Thessalonica. John wrote to Ephesus, to Laodicea, and we find in the book of Acts, we find about the early church, and those that met in homes, they had a local assembly somewhere. And I think you ought to be part of the local assembly. I really do. I just don't think you'll serve God outside the church. But tonight, somebody asked my wife, said, why is the preacher mad at us? I'm not mad at you, amen. I really ain't. And if you thought I was, I'm sorry. I wasn't mad at all. But I tell you tonight, these messages, wait a minute, listen, don't. I'll be honest with you because I think you're here tonight because you want to be. Amen. I believe you're here tonight because you want to be here tonight. Somebody didn't twist your arm. If you're here for any other reason, then friend, you need to come get on this altar and say, Lord, I want to be here to serve you and worship you and just do what you'd have me to do. But tonight, I just want to look at, I think, about three things about being part of the body of Christ. Now, remember what we started all these messages out with in Psalms 133 when he said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Ain't it good when we all get along and do our job and add around the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and what He's called us to do. Number one, let me say in the body of Christ, and when I talk about the body of Christ, I'm probably just going to intermingle that and that with the local assembly. And when I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about both at the same time. And then that way we don't have to try to divide it up. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about tonight. But when we look at this and we look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to see that number one, it takes all of us. You realize in the church, there's no big I's or little U's. Ain't that the thing we ran into this morning as we looked in 3 John about Diotrephes over there? He wanted the preeminence. He wanted it to be about him. Can I tell you tonight, this thing that we call the church is not about me and it's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. But the church is made up of people tonight. It's made up of people, and we all have a different job. I want you to look here what we find in verse 14. He said, for the body is not one member, but many. Do you know that it takes many members of your body to make it up? You've got toes and feet and legs and arms and eyes and a nose and ears and hands and fingers. And notice what he said right here. We got into an argument. The hand and the foot got into an argument. And the ear and the eye got into an argument. And notice what he said here in verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So if I don't preach, then I'm not part of the body. If I don't teach Sunday school, if I don't sing, then I'm not part of the body. Let me say, you ought to sing. Some people just order not to sing so loud sometimes. Amen. I'm only kidding tonight. Amen. I'm really only kidding tonight. Although I'll never forget, I had a friend we used to go to church with. His wife would just pat him on the leg and say, when you get in the choir, just don't sing so loud. Amen. That's what I should say. I think we all ought to sing and give a joyful noise unto the Lord. But listen, do you realize that the sons of Asaph and that were the music directors and that in the Old Testament, and they knew how to sing. You know, it'd be good for you to know how to sing. Amen. I mean, learn it. Brother Ralph talked about it the other night when he talked about learn to play skillfully, work skillfully. In other words, I preached on that before. Everything we ought to do, we ought to do good at it. Amen. But it takes all of us tonight. Not everybody's going to come up here and sing a special. But some people will. Some people have a great way. The Bible talks about the gift of helps. Not everybody's going to take the lead on everything. You know, some people are just made to take the lead. You ever just seen them people? They know how to be out front. They know how to run things. They know how to get it done. And you know, it works the same way in the church. Ain't just some people that's good at that. God has blessed them with that ability, and He wants them to do it. But you know, the Bible talks about the gift of help. Some people just know how to help. They don't want to be seen. They don't have to be seen. And all they want to do is just get in and undergird some things and strengthen some things where it fails at along the way. And they just want to help, Brother Martin. Just want to help. You know, it takes all of us, don't it? Can I say to the ear, I'm not of the body? Can the ear say to the eye, I'm not of the body because I'm not there? Can the foot say to the hand, I'm not of the body? You realize it takes all this thing to make it go right, don't it? I mean, we can compensate if we don't have. I've had to compensate a lot for this busted finger, right? And I know that don't look bad, but on that pinky finger, that thing hurts, man. I'll deal with that here in a minute. I got a whole story to tell about that. I've cried around about that finger. I mean, for a long time. You know, if we were all doing the same thing, then nothing else would really get done any different. You know, if we all paid the piano, who would come and sing? You see what I'm saying? Am I making sense with you? Now, this thing takes all. Let me put it to you another way right here. What me and Brother Jeff done this morning, when we sang that song, we were singing in unison. What's called singing in unison. You know what that means? We were singing the same part. That's what we were singing. It sounded fine, but we were both doing the same exact thing. And that was okay. That would have been fine for us to do that. And it was fine. I thought it was a good song, brother. Amen. But when me and my wife sing, I sing the lead part, and she sings the harmony part. Or when her and Miss Sarah sung the other night in revival, sung I Know a Man Who Can. My wife sung the lead part, and Miss Sarah sung the harmony part. And they're not the same part, but they harmonize together. And they sound so good, don't they? And you know, that's kind of like the body of Christ, if I can put it that way, is, friend, we're not all doing the same job all the time, but we're harmonizing together. I thought about that word before I left the house, harmony. Ain't that just a good word? Don't you just like the word harmony? Harmony just means you're kind of getting along. No, everybody's in harmony. And it's all working together and folk are doing together what they need to do. You know, when our choir gets up here to sing, and us men, we sing one part, and the ladies sing another part, and that book's got four-part harmony in it, and we really sing two-part harmony is what we sing. But it sounds so good. And that's the way the church works. We've all got a job, and when we go to do it, then I think the Lord smiles on that thing. Not everybody's a preacher. Not every preacher is a pastor. Right? I thought when you got called to preach, that's just what you went and done. I thought God called every preacher to pastor a church. Right here in the South, it kind of works out that way. We got enough churches around here. One preacher I know, he said, you can't sling a dead cat around here without hitting the church. And that's true. Not everybody's going to teach Sunday school, and let me put it to you like this too. Not every Sunday school teacher can teach the same class. Do you know that? Teaching them little ones takes a very special way of teaching them young ones. You better have a lot of patience, is all I know to you. God puts people where He wants them at. And He's got a way of doing it, but it takes all of us to get it done. I watched a preacher one time online. I know him. He is a personal friend of mine. And at his church, he was playing the piano, calling out the song numbers and leading singing from the piano. And then he got up to preach. You know why he done that? Because he didn't have nobody else to do it. But you know how much easier and how much better it would have been if he'd had a piano player and he'd had a song leader, and then he could have just sung wherever he wanted to, and then he could have been focusing on the message that he was about to preach. I mean, he got it done. You know, when we lack some things, some other things will pick up along the way sometimes. But it takes all of us. I think sometimes people think that because they're not doing this or doing that in the church, or because the job that they have may not be as good. I'm going to tell you, we all have a job in the body of Christ. That's to be a good witness, and that's to be faithful to serve God. That's to be good with your family. You know, Brother, I can't help but think about what he talked about, being a good mama and just being faithful and being a good daddy and being faithful. And that's just what that's what some people are. I thought about that today and yesterday as I was studying this. You know, some people, they're never going to teach Sunday school. They're going to sit on the pew and they're going to sing when it's time to sing. But they're going to be a good mom and dad. They're going to be faithful to the church, faithful to serve God. They're going to tithe like they're supposed to. And you know what? God's going to be happy about that. Because that's what He wants them to do. And that's what the church is made up of. It's made up of people. They'll try to win their family when the opportunity comes. They'll try to win their friends when the opportunity comes. But all I'm saying is when we look at this right here, we seem to have big jobs and little jobs. And even Paul kind of differentiates between that. But he said if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? If we're all doing the same thing, who's picking up the other job? Some churches run schools. Some churches run radio stations. Some churches have great big mission programs. I think we ought to have a good mission program. Or to do what we can, how we can. But we just fit in and do what God has called us to do. We need to be faithful in what God has given us. Look in verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. Now notice what your Bible says. As it has pleased Him. I mean, just get in. Be where God wants you to be. And then do it. It's pleased Him. The Bible talks about, I believe, at one point, is it in the book of 2 Timothy? It says that who hath called us, or who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. God had a purpose. I mean, don't you have a purpose for how you run things in your home and a purpose for how you teach your children? And I mean, you got a purpose. He has a purpose for the job that you have. You come and sing, it's not to to be entertained or to be entertaining. For it is to bless His name and to bless His people tonight. I just use that as one example tonight.
We need to be faithful in whatever God's called us to do because He's got a purpose. Notice He talks about these body parts right here. Notice He talks about some are feeble. He said, the eye cannot say to the hand in verse 21, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need. You know, we can't look at each other and say, you're not part of the body of Christ. We can do this without you. We probably get along with some things. I mean, like I told you about that preacher that had to play the piano and lead the singing and then come and do the preaching. He was doing the best that he could with what he had. But he said those members which seem to be more feeble, and that word feeble is weak or not vigorous. He said, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, he said, are necessary. He said they're necessary. You think that thing, you know, it's shorter than the rest of them, ain't it? That thumb's shorter than the rest of your fingers. But you ought to try to live without that thing. That opposable thumb. You ever tried to grab anything without that thumb right there? A lot of times we just don't think. Have you ever done it without your fingernail? You ever tore your finger? Well, I ain't tore mine off since I was a kid, and I hope I don't ever. I still remember what that's like. We don't think that fingernail is all that much right there. But you ought to tear that thing off and then see what happens. I'm just trying to make you think tonight. We may not think that little primary Sunday school class down there is all that much and that we need a Sunday school teacher that really cares for them to teach and try to train them kids. We don't think it's much, but I'm going to tell you tonight, it's great big. Amen. It's more necessary. Somebody better be teaching them now. Because if this thing tarries, if God tarries, by the way, Hebrews said He wouldn't tarry. But if He waits on His coming, listen tonight, then they are the church that's coming up. Somebody's got to take my place and your place. Somebody's got to play that piano later on. Somebody's got to stand where Brother Jeff and Jacob stands out and leads singing. Somebody's got to pastor this church after I'm dead and gone, or after I leave, whenever, whatever. Somebody's got to step in. Somebody better be training now. It does matter. All these little things in the church, people that take care of our missions. We don't think a whole lot about missions from day to day. Well, let me phrase it. You might. I don't know. But you know, somebody's got to write the checks and get them to the missionaries. Somebody better pay the light bill. I've got a friend of mine. He said, I can remember when I was a kid, they used to vote to pay the light bill. He said, you know what will happen if you don't pay the light bill? They'll cut your lights off. He said, I remember that when they used to vote to pay the light bill. He said, some are feeble, but some, he said, in those members of the body which we think, you know, he said some seem to be more feeble. He didn't say they were. He said they just seem to be more feeble. And he said, which we think in verse 23, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts. That word comely right there, when he talks about having more abundant comely, is become fit or suitable. Those things that sometimes we just don't think are fit or suitable are those that, listen, God's got it all figured out. And the Bible goes on to talk about how that He has tempered the body together. He's put it together and meshed it together and molded it together to make it work. Church, I want you to look around at folks sometime and think, man, we need each other. We really do. Make this thing go. We need each other. So somebody told me one time, church ain't about numbers. But it sure does take people to have church. Boy, ain't that just smart? That's one of the smartest and wisest things I ever heard in my life. Amen. I thought that's pretty good. It takes all of us. Well, then notice what it said right here when he talks about we give honor to the parts which lacked, or he gives honor, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Notice he said that there should be no schism in the body. You know, if there is a lacking part in the body of Christ, it'll cause a division in some things. You ever tried to work without everything you needed? It's awful hard, ain't it? I remember when Brother Frankie, before he passed away, you remember when he had his stroke and he had a stroke in his leg? I've never heard of that. That's just weird to me. But he had a stroke in his leg, and he got to where he could move with that leg, but then after over a period of time, it got a little better. But there was a period of time that he couldn't hardly use his leg. And he'd have to have a cane a lot of times. If you watched him, especially at the end, it was because of that leg was just liable to give out at any minute. And that was from that stroke. You know, something that caused a division in his body and would cause him to fall. I remember me and Brother Caldwell was out, and I'm telling you, he scared me to death. Then Brother Caldwell was out there, him and Miss Sue had a leak in their front yard, and I couldn't get no plumber to come out there. And so me and Brother Caldwell just took some shovels out there, and there we went. I called him, I said, "You working?" He said, "No." I said, "Come on, we're gonna go work today." And we got out there and dug that up, and we found it, and I cut it out and replaced it. Brother Frankie, he was leaned up on a tree, and he got ready to go, and the next thing I know, wham, he hits the ground. Thinking, man, he's hurt himself. You know something, when things ain't going right in the church and we're missing some people, missing some things, there becomes a division. And if we're not careful, that thing will begin to slow down and it could fall. And we don't want to do that. Schism means a division or a separation, something that we try to avoid here in the body of Christ. Not only when there is a lack in the body, and he said he has given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. He has made it bigger and made it greater. And he said that there should be no schism in the body, that there would be no division there. Can I tell you tonight, again, I want to go back to what I said at the very beginning of this message. I'm not bigger than you are, and you're not bigger than I am. And we're just a little in the sight of Christ. But ain't he good to be able to use us when we're where we need to be? I'm still amazed that the Lord can use us. You know, he talks about how good and how pleasant it is to dwell together in unity, that there would be no division in the body of Christ. The church cannot work and function properly when there is a division in it. We've got so many denominations and so many different doctrines and so many false doctrines out in the world today that the church itself cannot function as the Lord has intended. Are you saying that? No, it's functioning. I understand that. But what I'm saying is there's so much out there that this thing's messed up. Man has messed it up. That's what happens in the local assembly. You know that there should be no division in the church at all. There really should be no division in the church at all because one thinks that somebody's job is greater than the other or less than the other. It's just good and pleasant to dwell together. I don't like divisions. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, "For I fear lest when I come, I shall find you as I would, and that I should be found of you, unto you, such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whispering, swelling, tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and not repented of uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed." Well, because all the sin that was in there, He said, "You've got sin in there, but you've got debate, envy, wrath, strife, backbiting, whispering, swelling, tumult." Well, we said that this morning, didn't we? You talk about causing divisions in the church. I mean, there's all kinds of them. Even the local assembly gets divided.
Now, that's a place I don't like to be. Just want to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing for Christ. He talks about that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. He's got a job for all of us to do. There should be no division, but then there's the, we're to have care and compassion one for another. He said, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, and one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so here comes my pinky. Now, don't look like a big deal, especially right now, but you would have been there the day that I mentioned it. It was a great big deal. And not only did it turn all kinds of colors within about 3 seconds, but it bled too. I mean, I mashed it hard enough that I broke the skin, it bruised, everything went wrong at the same time. And you ever mashed anything? And you know that for the first few seconds, you ain't got no feeling there. And you've got time to think about this and say, boy, that thing's going to hurt. When you hear in just a minute or two, this thing's going to be throbbing. And Brother Randy, I was looking at that thing and I thought, boy, that's going to hurt. And my wife, she had the audacity. She said, you said a bad word. I said, no, I didn't say it. She said, why would you ask that? And she said, well, you ask me all the time if I said a bad word. And I forget about that. I do. I like to aggravate her. Listen, we try to make it fun around our house. It ought to be fun at your house. It should be. But do you realize that when I mashed that pinky, the rest of my body got involved pretty fast. My wife said, did your feet and legs dance? I said, for just a minute or two. I mean, but they couldn't help me, you see. So they had to go back to doing their job, which was standing up. They didn't fall out from under me. Some people, when they see blood or when they get hurt, one of the very first things they do, man, is their feet and their legs give out on them. And phoom, right on the floor they go. But my feet stood and done what they were supposed to do. But this right hand, it got involved pretty fast. My eyes seen what was going on. And this part of my body over here, it reached up there and got a towel off the workbench and it started ministering to that thing. And not only was this thing hurting, well, about to kick that over. Not only was this thing hurting, but this hand was a hurting too in the process. You know, sometimes just because one little part of the body gets hurt, that don't mean it don't affect the rest. But I begin to think about, when I looked at this, I begin to think about how quick this part of the body come to the rescue of this part of the body. But I'm telling you, we ought to have such care and compassion for one another that when somebody gets hurt, we ought to make a beeline to try to help them if we can. And if all we can do is undergird them and stand them upright, then let's do that. You know, this hand didn't say to this pinky, it didn't say, well, you dummy, you shouldn't have had your finger under there where you mashed it at. If you'd have known better, you wouldn't have got hurt right there. If you'd have done better, you wouldn't have got hurt. Do you realize that this hand right here had to pick up a lot of the extra slack that this hand could not do for just a little while? When I told Brother Jeremiah after I mashed it, I said when that thing got mashed, I wrapped it up and I walked over to my garage door in my workshop and I reached up with this hand. Most time it takes both hands, but I reached up this hand. I shut the door. I locked it up. I went over and turned the lights out. I pulled the door too, and everything I done was with this hand. Why? This hand couldn't do anything right now. You know, when some people get hurt in church and need care and compassion, sometimes they can't do their job for a little while. And you know what we have to do? We have to pick up the slack, don't we? To be able to do the job. When I got hurt, I was paying more attention to this thing than I was anything. Why? It hurt. That's what was on my mind. And sometimes that thing is still tender and I'll work on it. My wife said, you reckon you ought to poke that? And then she said, maybe you ought not to poke it. I'm thinking, I ain't poking nothing. I was playing the piano this morning and even this afternoon, and you boys that play the piano, I play that bass note with this pinky. So I've had to learn how to play that bass note with this ring finger. Now, I've done pretty good, but there's a lip on the edge of that piano over there. You got the keyboard right here, the keys, but there's a little lip right there. And so every time I'd reach down there to hit that bass note, that pinky would just rake right across that lip. I'm thinking, I ought to just might as well play the key with the pinky, you know. And every time I'd smack it, it would hurt just a little bit. But you know what? The first couple of days when I'd done that, if I'd have done that there, it would have been extremely painful. But now it's getting better. You know what? Sometimes it just takes a little time for people to get over some things. But in the process, we need to have care. I've tried to care for this thing, for this busted up spot, and have care and compassion. One for another. Notice what he said right here. He said but that the members should have the same care one for another. Does not matter what part of the body that this thing was in. You know that pinky ain't a whole lot, but I had a lot of care for it. It don't matter whether it's me or whether it's a child around here or somebody that you don't think has a big job in this church or a job in, or whether they have a job at all in the church. If they're saved and part of the body of Christ, if they're a member of our church, if they're faithful to our church, man, we ought to have care and compassion for them. We ought to try to... This is where I have failed at over the years. I was thinking about something. I've watched... Let me ask you this. When you have a toothache, when you have a toothache, don't the rest of your body know that? If you ain't never had a toothache, bless your heart, and I hope you don't. But don't the rest of your body know that? You know I'm telling the truth tonight. Hey, when there's people in here hurting, we should know that. And we should be striving to try to help somebody tonight. We're to have care and compassion. And I've thought about, boy, how I have missed that over the years. Just not only as being the pastor of this church, but I'm talking about just being part of the body of Christ that we have. I don't know about you, but I have missed that. This hand came real fast to the rescue and wanted to help all that it could. Well, would to God that we would do that for one another. He said, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Don't matter how big we are or how little we are, if somebody's suffering, then we all get in there and suffer together. Don't matter how big or how little we are, if we're rejoicing, let's all get in there and rejoice together. Amen. Why? We're all part of the body. We're all part of the body. We all suffer together and we all rejoice together. Then he said, now you are the body of Christ and members of the body. In particular, we're all part of the body, but we have a particular job that we're supposed to do. You know what we need to do? We need to find out what God wants us to do, get in there, and be faithful to do it. Amen. Let's not worry about what somebody else is doing. You let them find their job. Amen. Amen. Let them find their job. Let's not be dividing. Say they've got a better job than I do. Don't matter. You know what was it the Lord told Peter? What about John, when Peter said, what's this man going to do right here? He said, it don't matter what he does, Peter. He said, it don't matter. He said, you just follow me. Ain't that what he said? He said, Peter, it don't matter what John's going to do. He said, you follow me. It don't matter what I'm doing. You follow God. It don't matter what your neighbor's doing. You follow God. And then we're to have the same care and compassion one for another. Love on one another. Help one another. Why? We're part of the same body. Do you not want your body to be functioning correctly? And when one part goes bad, you start working to try to figure out how it is? Body of Christ. How good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And that unity is around the Lord Jesus Christ and His book tonight. I love the Lord tonight. I hope you do. Let's bow our heads this evening.